and amen. The story really starts with a talk about the temple. The temple of Herod in Jerusalem, we're told, was a most impressive complex, especially to people who had not traveled very far, people who had not seen very much. Herod was the greatest builder that Palestine, we are told, had ever known. And people would come and they simply gaped in astonishment at his great creation, the temple of Herod. Now the disciples, the followers of Christ, they were also impressed. You see, they were from Galilee. And of course, there was nothing in Galilee to compare with that great building. And so it was during their final visit with the Savior to Jerusalem that one day as they left the temple, they started to talk to the Lord about it. They were so impressed that they expected the Lord Jesus Christ to be impressed as well. Teacher, they said, my, what great stones and great buildings are here. And as they stood for a moment, they expected the Lord to come in with words that he was impressed too. But instead of the Lord Jesus showing admiration for the buildings, for the stones, he does the very opposite, and he turns round and he predicts the temple's destruction. He said, you see these great stones, you see these great buildings you're talking about, not one stone shall be left standing upon another that shall not be cast down. This great temple that you're admiring, this great building that you think so much of, one day it will be totally, one day it will be utterly destroyed. Now, while the disciples were human enough to be impressed with a big building, they were also human enough to be inquisitive about the future. And so they begin to inquire of the Lord, well, when will all this happen? What will be the signs of your coming? I can almost picture these men sitting down with bated breath, waiting to be taught of the Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ does what only he can do. He sits down. And he very, very patiently taught them about his coming. And as he sits with them, he told them many things about it. He told them to be careful, for false messiahs would precede his coming, claiming to be the Christ. He told them that false prophets would precede his coming, leading people astray. Told them all of these things. And then he starts to give them some illustrations about his coming. And he says, my coming will be like the flood. That great flood in the days of Noah. That flood that came and destroyed the earth. He goes on to say, my coming will be like a thief breaking into a household. It will be a sudden event. It will be an unexpected event. And then he says, my coming will be like a bridegroom coming for his bride. And that's where we come into the Scriptures this evening. This portion of Scripture regarding these 10 virgins. Now our problem is that we don't know very much about Jewish weddings. And so we need to get just perhaps a little information regarding these events. Now, of course, you know there were nothing at all like the weddings that we know. They were a much longer, drawn-out event. You see, a Jewish wedding would start roughly a year after the engagement. the couple would become engaged for almost a year, or maybe a little over it. And then something would happen. The bridegroom one evening would come to the bride's home to claim his bride. She would be carried away, covered by a canopy, and dressed in white, accompanied by her bridesmaids. They would be brought to the bridegroom's home. And then a very wonderful celebration would take place. There would be great rejoicing. There would be great feasting. And that would go on for 7 days. The Jews really knew how to enjoy a wedding. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get one day at a wedding, I'm home like a wrecked house. What would it not be like if we had 7 days of it? But that's the way the Jewish wedding really went. Now, tonight, we might say, well, where do I fit in to this story? And as I look over at the male members of the congregation, I'm sure there's none of us ever wanted to be a bridesmaid. Well, I hope not anyhow. But as we look at this story tonight, you'll say, what is this? What is the relevance of this whole story? Where do I come into it? Dear friends, the connection is this. This is all about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that includes every one of us. Man, woman, boy, girl. It takes us all in the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we know that certain things already has happened. The temple is gone. Some 40 years after this event, we're told that the Romans came and they pulled it down. It's gone. False messiahs have arisen from time to time. And tonight, false prophets are throughout the world, leading people astray. So many things have taken place. But yet there's one thing that has not taken place. Or we would not be here tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ has not returned. And so we are still living in the age of the gospel. We are still waiting for His coming. But dear friends, in Bethany Free Presbyterian Church, the main issue tonight is this. Are we ready? Should He come? Hence the very simple title for this message this evening. Ready or not ready? You know, the old chorus got it dead on. And it says, say, will you be ready when Jesus comes? Are you truly born again, washed in Jesus' blood? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Will you be ready when Jesus comes? Oh, I trust that tonight you will. I want to look at this story very simply this evening. And I want us to consider together these bridesmaids. And I want to say just a few things about them tonight in the gospel. The first thing I want to say is this concerning these bridesmaids. They all shared the same intentions. They all shared the same intentions. Look what it says in the verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now each individual in this group of 10, they all had the same intention. They weren't feigning. They weren't fooling. They weren't jesting. They really meant that when the bridegroom arrived, that they would go out to meet him, that they would accompany the bride to the marriage, they would go to the feast, they would enjoy the celebrations. All this was their intention. It is possible they have been waiting, they've been looking forward to this event for some time, for a year perhaps, as we have said already. This was to be a great moment for them. This was to be a great honor for them all. They would be dressed as the bride was dressed. They would go with her. They all shared the same intentions. This was their mindset. Now, I don't think I am being presumptuous this evening, dear friends, as the preacher, to say of this congregation that tonight we all share the same intentions. Or is it perhaps possible that there's someone in this congregation, someone in this meeting tonight, who doesn't want to go to heaven? Surely not. Surely not. Maybe you don't want to talk about it, and maybe you try not to think about it, but deep down in your heart, in the end of life's journey, you would very much want to be in heaven. You believe in heaven, or you would not be here this evening. It's as simple as that. You know, I believe the hymn writer penned it well when he said, on the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk some day. And like these women so long ago, dear friends, we do all share the same intentions. Everybody wants to go to heaven. You meet the drunkard on a Saturday night, and there's nobody easier to talk to about the gospel than a drunk man. I know, because I've been there. But I have stood with drunk men on a Saturday night in the open-air meeting, and tears have run down their cheeks, and they've said, yes, Joe, I hope to be in heaven. And then they'll go on to tell you about a godly mother who's gone away on before. And these poor men in their drunken state hope one day to be in heaven. And so, dear friends, in this congregation this evening, from the smallest child to the oldest adult, if I were to ask you tonight, do you hope to be in heaven? We would all, without reservation, say yes. You intend to be there. We all share the same intentions, don't we? We all want to be in heaven. Now let's move on down the chapter just a little bit. And I want you to see, secondly, not only did they all share the same intentions, but they all didn't make the right preparation. There was only some of them made the right preparation. You see, one feature of being a bridesmaid was to take part in a procession. And since that procession was in the dark, they illuminated the procession with lamps. What they would do, they carried a little lamp, a very small lamp. It was handheld. Now, the feature of the lamp was this. It had a little reservoir that was filled with oil, which fed the wick, which gave the light. And that's what a lamp really does. And that was the feature of these handheld lamps. And so it was necessary to keep them filled with oil. And there were those who did that. It says in verse 4, but the wise took oil in their lamps and their vessels with their lamps. They made the right preparation. But then we read in verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. While they all had the same intentions, it's clear to see that only some of them had made the right preparation. And dear friends, tonight in Portadown, it is absolutely vital. It is absolutely necessary. If we want to be in heaven, then we have to make the right preparation. The right preparation is necessary. And the only preparation that this Bible knows, and the only preparation that God knows, the only preparation that this preacher knows, is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in Him as your Savior, then you will be prepared for His coming, whether it is by calling you in death or by His coming in glory, as one day He shall. He's coming again. And dear friends, tonight, let me say this to you. If you ever want to be in heaven, you have got to prepare for heaven. And the preparation for heaven, excuse me for repeating myself, but we can't say it often enough, is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you move away towards the end of this reading, it says in verse 12, and it's the answer that these people get who are not allowed in. And to me, it's very sad. He says, I know you not. I know you not. In other words, the Lord is saying to these ones, listen, there is no relationship between us. You are strangers to me. And dear friends, again, let me say, you cannot get ready for heaven by repeating perhaps the shorter catechism. You can't get ready for heaven by taking out church membership, by going through all the good works that people try to do. Preparation for heaven is by faith alone in Christ alone. Had you looked at these 10 women here, you wouldn't have known the difference. They were all dressed the same. They all looked alike. But the difference was this. Some had oil in their lamps. Some had not. Some had made the right preparation. And some had not. Oh, they all had the same intentions. But only some had made the right preparation. Dear friends, let me ask you a personal question this evening. Have you honestly this evening made the right preparation? Tonight, are you ready for His coming? Have you, as the Scripture says, prepared to meet your God? Have you? We all share the same intentions, but only some have made the right preparation. Now, there's something else I want us to notice as we move on. And this is something that's very, very, very important, and it's this. There is here in this portion of Scripture a moment beyond their comprehension. In other words, there's a moment that none of them knew about. And that was the moment the bridegroom came. You see, not one single person knew when the bridegroom was going to return. And it seems to the bridesmaids that the bridegroom is taking an awful long time to come back. Oh, he's not coming when they thought he should come. And it says they all slumbered and slept. Try to picture the scene. It's early evening. He hasn't come. It's middle evening and he still hasn't come. It's late evening and he hasn't come back. And eventually we're told they all slept. Now listen, Christian. Here's something we need to be careful of. It says here, they all slumbered and slept. Even the wise were sleeping. And we need to be careful, Christians, that we're not sleeping when He comes. We need to be up and doing while it is day. For the night will come when no man will work. So let us be up and doing. You know, He came at a moment that not one of them could forecast. Now, I don't know why some people get this idea in their heads that they can tell you when the Savior is coming. There's been people who have tried to do that. There are people who have made predictions that they knew when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back. Of course, they hadn't a notion. They're gone. And the Savior still hasn't come. Well, way back in Old Testament times, if a man got on his feet and made a false prophecy, he was put to death. Now, I'm not saying we should start doing that, but rather just tell them to shut up and sit down because they haven't a clue what they're talking about. Because nobody knows the moment when he will come. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And dear friends, no one knows that day, no one knows that hour when he will come. Listen to me, it is for that very reason that you need to be ready. That is the reason you need to be ready, because you know not when he will come. There's a whole state of alarm starts in this portion of Scripture. They start to rush about to try and buy oil. We needn't go into that. We don't need to go into the details about trying to get to the shops. But what the Lord is saying is this, and he says it very clearly. It is too late to wait till he comes to be ready. You've got to get ready and be ready now in case he comes. In case he comes. Dear friend, that is always the message of the gospel to you that's not saved. No preacher will ever tell you to wait till tomorrow or wait till later on tonight, to wait till you're going to bed. Because the Word of God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Dear friends, tonight Christ is coming back. You know not when he'll come back. And you tonight need to be ready. I want to look, finally, and just for a moment or two, I want us to concentrate on the bridegroom. You see, it's all about the bridegroom. And as we look at the bridegroom, I want you to notice this, that there is here a separation enforced by the bridegroom. There's a separation enforced by the bridegroom. Friends, it's all to do with the bridegroom. Look what it says in verse 10. And while they went to buy, that's the foolish ones, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And the door was shut. But it's those wee words, they went in with him. You see, there's no other way of getting in. Maybe you'll think because somebody can preach and knows a wee bit about the Bible, surely that's enough to get you in. No, we must go in with him. What about the pastor of our congregation? He's a great man. I know he is, and I love him in the Lord. But he must go in with him. My dear friends, there is no other way to get in. We must go in with him. And that's why I'm asking you tonight, as this sermon draws to a close, if Christ were to come for you this evening in death, or if Christ was to return, would you go in with him? Would you? Would you go in with him? You know, I was in this church yesterday. A dear old saint of God from our church in Tandragee was laid to rest. And we had the funeral service here in Bethany. And my, it was a lovely testimony for the minister to be able to say that she went in with him. She went home to be with the Lord. And dear friends, it's a wonderful thing for a pastor to be able to say that. But I wonder if death tonight were to claim you. Would your pastor be able to say that of you, that you have gone in with him? Or with a broken heart? Or with tear-filled eyes, would he have to say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Dear friends, this evening I want you to look, as we come to the close, at the saddest part of this whole story. And it's this. It's the idea of people trying to get in who can't get in. And that is so sad. It says, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And the door was shut. And friends, the one who shuts the door never opens it again. Never opens it again. Nothing wrong with their intentions. Totally deficient in their preparation. And so forever and forever and forever, they're lost. And how sad it would be if someone who sat in Bethany Free Presbyterian Church were to be shut out. That the door was shut on you. I see young people here tonight. You know, I believe we're in a day when family circles are broken. And let me say to you young people this evening that the thought of your mother's being in heaven without you breaks your mother's heart. The thought of any mother's heart tonight is this: if I were in heaven and my children weren't there, I would be devastated. And so, young person, tonight let me say to you, you need to make that preparation. Maybe those older ones are sitting here. And there was a time in your life, perhaps, when, like me, you sat round the bed of a dying mother with members of the family. And Mum was soon leaving to go to heaven. And members of the family promised Mum, "Yes, Mother, we will meet you in the land that's fairer than day." There was 3 members of the family saved, 4 not. 21 years later, there's still 3 members of the family saved and 4 not. And the promises they made to Mum, they mean nothing. You're sitting here tonight, older person. Did you promise Mum that one day you would meet her in glory? Listen to the words of the hymn as we close. I think of times as night draws nigh, of an old house on a hill, of a yard all white, white and blossom scarred, where the children played at will. And when the night at last came down, hushing the merry din, Mother would look around and ask, "Are all the children in?" I wonder if when the shadows fall on that last short earthly day, when we say goodbye to the world outside, all tired of our childish play, and when we step out into that other land where Mother so long has been, will we hear her ask, just as of old, "Are all the children in?" Are you in tonight? Have you made your preparation? Jesus Christ is coming back again. And those that are ready will go in with Him to the marriage. May God bless you. And may God grant you grace to make your preparation even this evening.